The Seth Leibson Show, where it's principles, not politics. Now, here's Seth.
Yeah, let that bass run just a moment while I plug in here. Coming back from a break. Welcome back, Monday, April 25th, 2016. Great to be rejoined, as always on Mondays, by my good friend Chris Buskirk, editor and publisher of DownstreamPolitics.com, where you want to go for the stuff that you're not going to find elsewhere. That's what I want about a new website, right? This is the whole thing. If they proliferate, it seems, and there was a period when everyone wanted to start it. Well, first it was everyone wanted to write a book. Then it became everyone.
But then everybody stopped reading books.
Yeah, everyone stopped reading books. So then everyone wanted to start a website. Then people wanted to start think tanks. Then everyone wanted to run for president. And it's just you keep lowering the currency. Now we're back to a point where if someone starts something, I'm going to ask them, okay, what's the value added in a crowded world where, you know, we don't have time? And Downstream Politics, I was surprised, and I shouldn't have been. It created something new, something interesting, something different, as Powerline did to National Review Online by creating something a little deeper and a little more culturally interesting. Chris Buskirk and Downstream have done to everything that came after Powerline, I think, from, you know, basically from Breitbart to WorldNet Daily to more conventional websites. It's deeper and it's different. And of course, when you have graduate degrees in political philosophy like Chris, it's not surprising. So, Chris, congrats on all
well,
the success.
Well, thank you.
Of Downstream
Politics. Boy, I just got compared to my two favorite websites other than Downstream Politics, which are Powerline and Breitbart.
Nicely done. Good. Yeah, no, Powerline is a favorite, isn't it?
Powerline's fantastic. In fact, I sent Steve Hayward a message on Facebook today because he had, I don't know if you saw it, he had a really interesting clip from something Harry Jaffa had written back in 91 from a speech that he, did you see that?
Let's pull it up for our audience.
I was hoping we could. I messaged him. In fact, you might have seen my message. It's from a speech that Harry gave in, I guess he said December of 91. And I actually remember because I was in graduate school, so I saw Harry almost every day back then. I remember him working on it, and this was sort of, in a sense, it was in a response to Frank Fukuyama's End of History and The Last Man.
Which was all the rage at the time.
It was all the rage at the time because the peace dividend was being rapidly spent and overspent as a result of the collapse of the Soviet bloc. This was after his essay had come out, but before the book had come out. The book came out in 92. And so Harry was saying, yeah, no, actually, hold up a second, guys. All this is just shape-shifting. We may have won a significant battle, and that's all to the good, but the ideology is still out there and is going to morph itself into what we know as political correctness. And when you see this quote, when you are able to pull this up, it's shockingly prescient 25 years ago.
It is shockingly prescient, and as soon as I get internet access, I'll pull it up. But to remind people, Powerline is a website, is a blog by a bunch of political philosophers and lawyers, with the exception of Steve Hayward, who's not a lawyer, but he is a political philosopher. Harry Jaffa was the professor Chris and I shared, who is, to our minds, I think I can speak for you, the greatest living political philosopher we were ever privileged to know, and maybe who strode the scene
in the latter half of the 20th century, for sure.
Yeah. Are you able to get on Wi-Fi, Bill? I'm not.
I think I've got it here, Chris. Is it called Harry Jaffa Explains Sanders, Trump, and Campus Craziness?
No.
March 13th, 2016.
Yeah, no. But why are you able to get online and I'm not? That's the bigger question.
I'm not on the wireless, probably.
How are you possibly on the internet if you're not on the wireless? Oh, you have a hard connection. Okay, people don't want to hear this. We will get to it.
Making sausage on air, right?
We are making, we're not getting it. We're not making sausage on air.
We can't cook it is the problem.
We can't cook it. We'll get it in a minute. Can you call IT and tell them I have a problem with my IT band?
They'll be on it in 6 to 8 hours.
I'm glad Chris got
that.
Thank you. Francis Fukuyama was a scholar at the time, I want to say, at the Rand Corporation, philosopher of sorts, State Department official under the first Bush administration.
Wannabe philosopher.
And his theory was, as Chris said, that, you know, with the fall of communism, we have reached a Hegelian point where we are now at the end of history and freedom will reign. And go ahead.
I was just wanted to pop in there. I mean, this first of all, his book was just a recapitulation of Hegel, as you correctly point out. But that concept, the end of history, that's been, I mean, that has been picked up. That is the standard thinking on most of the right and all of the left today.
Sure. And one of the things I noticed at the time, and I know exactly who it was who's made famous in his own right now, and it wasn't you. I said, you know what's interesting about this book? Because we were all in grad school reading this book, thinking it was the smart thing to do. Like people used to write, you know, like they used to read The Closing of the American Mind and stuff like that. It was the hot book at the time. So what's interesting is there's nothing about Muslim extremism in here. Zero.
In which?
In the entire book.
In
the end of history.
Book?
Yeah. There was
right.
Not,
no, that's
not,
a huge miss.
Not a thing about it. And, yeah, okay. It's asking me for the password, too, so I got to do that. We'll figure that whole scandal out, that contretemps. And I remember saying it to a professor, then a fellow student who's gone on to become a professor, and you've seen him on TV from time to time. And I said, does no one care about the rise of Islamic extremism, especially with the demise of communism? He said, oh, no one cares about that. That's nothing. And I said, are you serious? I think this is really going to be the next thing to watch. He said, nah, you're wrong. So, happily, he has tenure and I don't, and that's the way the world works. But
yeah, but see, you have a radio show and he doesn't.
Yeah.
And which is more fun?
Yeah, right. I know. I just always wanted to be called a professor. I thought that would
okay,
be nice.
Okay, professor.
There we go.
Bright as the light and a baby smile. Sure as a mountain river winding. Bright as the rain falling from the sky.
Little George Strait coming at you. We got some new music in the queue for Bumper. Are you a George Strait fan, Chris?
I like Amarillo by Morning.
Well, that's a start.
Yeah.
That's a start. You're not an enemy, I guess. That's a start.
Could be a potential friend. No, I like George Strait a lot.
I heard another radio host today bragging about how there was no political philosophy on the radio till he got there, which I happen to know for a fact is bunk. So we were on the radio years before he was and doing it. But we're going to do better political philosophy. So here's the from the speech. I think I was at that speech, too, by the way.
I'm sure you were.
If I'm not mistaken, Harry Jaffa gave, great contemporary political philosopher, well, our teacher anyway, passed away last year. If it's the one I'm thinking about, it was at the Athenaeum at Claremont McKenna College. And I could be wrong. I think it was there. And I think he had a lot to say about free speech as well. Does that ring a bell, or am I misremembering the speech?
You may be right. I don't remember for sure where it was. I remember him talking about it a lot, but it could well have been the Athenaeum.
He writes, the defeat of communism in this is 1991. This is before Bill Clinton is elected, the election of Bill Clinton. The defeat of communism in the USSR and its satellite empires by no means assures its defeat in the world. Indeed, the release of the West from its conflict with the East emancipates utopian communism at home from the suspicion of its affinity with an external enemy. We're going to come back to that line. The suspicion of its affinity with an external enemy. The struggle for the preservation of Western civilization has entered a new and perhaps more deadly phase. Remember that the revolutionary goal of the classless society of altruists has survived. It has survived, detached from any foundation and rational analysis, such as Marx claimed for himself. For what else is the movement for consciousness raising but a renamed version of the demand for the socialist man? What is the conflict between property rights and global environmentalism but another chapter in the conflict between the bourgeois man and the socialist man? Diversity is demanded by those who will tolerate no deviation from the politically correct. And what is the politically correct? But another name for the party line. It is Leninism-Stalinism without Lenin or Stalin. That's when the phrase diversity was just becoming vogue, too. This was way ahead of its time.
This was way ahead of its time. Remember, you talk about the books that everybody read. Dinesh D'Souza's first book,
Illiberal Education. Yeah, that was on the scene at the time.
Would have come out, I want to say, maybe a year or two later.
Might have
probably been. 92 or 3.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Right. Harry had this way ahead of everybody on this. And if you look at his Reichstag speech, the Reichstag is still burning. I mean, he was on top of this stuff in the late 80s
that,
and early
that,
90s.
Yeah, that would have been 88, 89.
Yeah, late 80s, very early 90s, and he was all over this and saw it coming.
Yeah, not only did he see it coming, look how true it is and how it has come. Party line. The party line. So if you say something deviating from what is acceptable, politically correct, the party line. The punishments back in those days, you know, what were they in those days when it was first starting? You and I were on the campuses, Chris. You might get called into the office of the dean of students and be told, can you cool it just a little bit? Maybe a little bit, which is itself chilling.
Yeah.
Today you get kicked off campus, you lose a speech, you can lose your job.
Yeah, well, think back to 80, I can't remember if it was 85 or 86 in the Dartmouth Review.
Yeah, right,
And they're, you know, they were at the forefront of this type of thing.
Dinesh D'Souza and Laura Ingraham.
And Laura Ingraham, right. And Debbie Stone, mutual friend.
Right.
You know, they were threatened with all kinds of things up to and including expulsion. It never happened.
Right.
They had National Review editor Jeff Hart there, who was sort of defending them, but that launched their careers because of the controversy that it raised. But the consequences today are swifter, more extreme, and more capricious.
Much more, and you don't know where the line is ever. I mean, who knew we'd be dealing with transgender bathrooms?
Well, yeah, I didn't think that you were going there. What I meant was,
didn't mean to, and trust me, I usually don't.
I meant in terms of the consequences. I mean, expulsion for the social justice warrior set is not sufficient, right? They want to blacklist you from getting jobs. Right. They want to what's called doxing, which is to reveal all of your personal information online. You know, and it's. You know, it's pretty extreme today with the lengths that folks will go to and the means that they have at their disposal with social media.
Yeah, and the stakes are much obviously higher now, as are the means by which you can do it, which means we have to resist it all the more so. And when people go up against the grinder of the college political correct scene or the employment politically correct scene, I mean, occasionally they'll ask me my advice or, you know, people do ask me my advice. They ask me what to do, and it's a tough call. It's really a tough call whether they should keep their mouth shut or actually do and say something.
Yeah.
It's a very tough call. God bless these students at Claremont that keep seeming to stand up from time to time and challenge the orthodoxy. Looks like the harder the left pushes against them, the more careers it creates.